You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like that a lot.
The Rough Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Melville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. Welcome to the show. It is Thursday, August 21st, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. So glad you could join us here on 420radio.org, the 24-hour home for marijuana legalization. We've got all your news from coast to coast, from north to south, and everywhere in between. All sorts of great stuff on today's show. We are continuing to upload our highlights from the Seattle Hemp Fest, all the great speakers and activists who appeared there. And on today's show, we got two more speeches for you. We've got Adam Eidinger from Washington, D.C. He's been involved in hemp and marijuana in the D.C. area for a long, long time. We've got his speech up at Seattle Hemp Fest for you. Also, we've got Michael Kravitz, a longtime friend of the show and a regular guest from Veterans for Medical Cannabis Access. Michael Kravitz's speech will be on today's show as well. Make sure you check that out. Also on the show today, it is Thursday, and every other Thursday we do our Cops Say Legalize Drugs segment. And on today's show, we've got a visit from a guest who's been here a couple times on the show. Terry Nelson, one of the leaders of law enforcement against prohibition, is going to explain to us why cops say legalize drugs. We're also going to get his opinion on the use of police deadly force, as that's been in the news a lot lately concerning the events in Ferguson, Missouri. Also on the show today, we got news that Kevin Sabet, the Joker to my Batman, is coming to the state of Oregon October 1st through October 7th. He will be part of what's being called an educational tour on marijuana. Because, you know, it's against the law to spend federal tax dollars to campaign against state ballot initiatives. So he's not campaigning against our Measure 91. Don't even think that for a second. He's just here to educate people about marijuana. And it just so happens to be the week before our ballots get mailed out for our all-mail election here in Oregon. But it's just educational purposes. We're going to talk about that, plus our plan to battle him in all 13 cities that he appears. That's right. We're going to be live in all 13 cities. Some of these, he's doing three different cities in a day. We're going to be on the road all day. We'll bring you three different shows if we have to. But Kevin, you don't get to come to Oregon without me hanging out over your shoulder and all of the listeners of 420radio.org and the Russ Melville Show who are going to hold you to account. Make sure the people know the truth about cannabis. Also coming up on the show today, in hour two, we're going to go back to the Tacoma Dome where we have got vendor interviews. Our good friend Zane from the Big Island went around to various vendors at the world's largest business-to-business cannabis conference and got some interviews from them. So we're going to hear from Alpha Chronic Seeds, Aquarius Cannabis, Bolden & Lawson, Chiba Chews, Vapor Tech, Cloverton Security, Crazy Good Dirt, Dope Magazine, Grass is Always Greener, Grassroots California, HQ Packaging, Magical Butter, MJBA, Online Marijuana Design, Farm Pods, and more. So stay tuned for that in hour two if you want to get the business-to-business aspect. Really quick, short interviews, and you can learn a lot about a lot of different products and services in the cannabis community. Also, it's time for our Daily Toker Tunes, so we'll have Chuck Diesel calling up a little bit later. He's got some music for us today from Cypress Hill. We love Cypress Hill on the show, so we can't wait for that. Also, in studio today, Big Daddy Fink will be with us a little bit later, and we will be doing a live Big Daddy Fink Funky Roller Rink tonight at 8 p.m. So get ready to funk, because we're going to have some live funk for you tonight at 8 o'clock. We're back with the 420 Radio News right after this.
To the Russ Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, the world's voice of marijuana legalization.
Join us for the International Cannabis Business Conference September 13th and 14th in the Portland Ballroom at the Oregon Convention Center. The International Cannabis Business Conference will focus on the emerging cannabis industry in Oregon, the United States, and around the world, putting you in front of the industry's foremost entrepreneurs, political leaders, and attorneys. Also showcasing over 40 cannabis-related industry exhibitors, offering VIP lunches and free nightly networking events. Prepare yourself for America's next great industry.
The Hollywood Hemptress Hour, replaying Tuesdays at 12 Pacific.
Hi, I'm Richard Harris. I'm the former director of addictions and mental health for the state of Oregon. Drug treatment and prevention are woefully underfunded right now. Measure 91 will better fund drug treatment and prevention programs. Marijuana isn't going anywhere. We're not stopping it with the war on drugs. You have to remember that marijuana is a pretty benign drug. It doesn't have the usual dependency features of, say, heroin or alcohol abuse. Now, marijuana feeds drug cartels and fuels violence. We can crack down on that. Take the money from drug cartels and, by the law, spend it on law enforcement, treatment, and education. Criminalizing marijuana is just no way to solve the problem. That's why treatment people like me are supporting Measure 91.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Russ Belville with your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is your 420 Radio News for Thursday, August 21st, 2014. The Democratic Party of Oregon has formally endorsed Measure 91, the ballot initiative to legalize marijuana. The Democrats state, quote, "A majority of Americans and a large majority of Democrats now support state regulation of legal marijuana use. Measure 91 is the right approach to legalization in Oregon, strictly regulating use while funding law enforcement and schools. Vote yes on 91," end quote. The state could reap between $35 million and $105 million per year through the passage of Measure 91, according to Seth Crawford, an Oregon State University sociologist and expert on the policies and market structure of marijuana in Oregon. He says, quote, "From a purely economic standpoint, it's a net win for the state's budget. There are still going to be enforcement issues, but the costs are likely to be lower than what is spent on enforcement now." Maine medical marijuana growers are organizing to fight proposed statewide marijuana legalization in 2016. Glenn Lewis explains that, quote, "My wife and I are both caregivers. We have 10 patients between the two of us," end quote, and that's how the couple earns their living. The medical marijuana caregivers of Maine's legislative lobbyist, Paul McCarrier, says statewide legalization, quote, "will have a negative impact on patients in this state," end quote, and that, quote, "patients will be herded into the recreational market and marijuana will be mass-produced," end quote. David Boyer, Marijuana Policy Project's Maine director, said, quote, "Access to medical marijuana in Colorado is better than it's ever been. If it was legal here for all adults, you'd see better access to medical marijuana, better quality, and medicine that's more affordable," end quote. However, in Maine, as in California in 2010, Washington and Colorado in 2012, and Oregon in 2014, the only marijuana users to support maintaining criminal prohibition are those already protected from it who currently profit from it. Sniffing peppercorns could offset the feeling of pot paranoia, according to a recent report on marijuana.com. There have been anecdotal reports by patients in Canada that chewing or sniffing peppercorn seems to relieve paranoia, an effect researcher Ethan Russo suggests could be the result of terpenes found in pepper. Micrine and alpha-pinene, as well as the terpenoid caryophyllene, are found in pepper and cannabis. Micrine is an analgesic and anti-inflammatory, pinene is a bronchodilator, and beta-caryophyllene helps dementia, anxiety, and depression. The effect has been documented back to the first century when Pliny the Elder wrote of cannabis use letting, quote, phantoms beset the mind, causing laughter which persists until the kernels of pine nuts are taken with pepper and honey in palm wine, end quote. The NFL's Pittsburgh Steelers may be without their two top running backs when the season starts thanks to marijuana. Le'Veon Bell and LeGarrette Blount were stopped yesterday afternoon when a motorcycle officer at a red light smelled marijuana coming from the black Camaro stopped next to him. After pulling the vehicle over, the officer found 20 grams of marijuana in a bag that the two running backs and their female passenger admitted to collectively possessing. Bell was driving and had his blood drawn for suspicion of driving under the influence of marijuana. The two will suit up for their preseason game against Philadelphia tonight, but the NFL's four-game punishment for first-time marijuana violators means they could miss an important season opening game against division rival Cleveland. The last Steeler to run afoul of marijuana prohibition, Santonio Holmes, was suspended by the team without pay for the next regular season game. Democratic candidates for governor in Massachusetts sounded off about the legalization of marijuana on Wednesday. Martha Coakley, the attorney general leading widely in the polls, was noncommittal on whether Massachusetts should legalize pot, saying, quote, I know the issue is coming, end quote, but deferring any official stance until she evaluates how legalization in Colorado and Washington has worked out. Outsider Don Berwick was similarly without opinion on legalization, and only state treasurer Steve Grossman was willing to say he was open to full legalization. This has been your 420 Radio News for Thursday, August 21st, 2014. You can get 420 Radio on the go with our Shoutcast stream for all internet-enabled media players. Go to rad-r.us/420shout or just click the Shoutcast icon below the live radio feed at 420radio.org. The International Cannabis Business Conference takes place September 13th and 14th at the Portland Ballroom in the Oregon Convention Center in Portland, Oregon. Featured speakers include Oregon Senator Floyd Prezansky, U.S. Congressman Earl Blumenauer, Daily Dish blogger Andrew Sullivan, author Doug Fine, and Harborside CEO Steve D'Angelo. To learn more, visit our website at international.com.
I don't use marijuana, but as a teacher of 36 years, I can tell you lots of other people use it. I don't believe in prohibition. I don't think it works. Prohibiting it hasn't stopped anybody from getting a hold of it. I would like to see it regulated so that maybe kids can't get a hold of it so easily. I know they get a hold of it now very easily. I support a new approach to marijuana. I support legalizing it. It's with us. It's not going to go away, and if we can get money through the taxation, we can also educate our kids about it. That's why I support it.
Portland at the world-famous Cannabis Cafe. Okay, Adam Eidinger is from Washington, D.C. You know, I talk about how a lot of people come a long ways to speak for free. Adam Eidinger comes from Washington, D.C., and he's trying to pass local legalization initiative, like our legalization initiative. And he's going to explain to you why a legalization initiative in Washington, D.C. is so incredibly important to us right here in Washington State. Adam Eidinger.
All right, thank you for welcoming me here to Seattle Hemp Fest. I got a question for everybody here. It's a simple yes or no question. Is Washington, D.C. a state?
No.
No, that's right. We got no senators, we got no congressmen representing us. We literally have taxation without representation to this day in Washington, D.C. We've got about 650,000 people who live there, and that's more people than the state of Wyoming, and that's more than Vermont. And they have senators, they have congressmen. Now, well, the story I'm about to tell you is a true story. In 1998, We put medical marijuana on the ballot in Washington, D.C. I was just cutting my teeth on marijuana activism. I just the first campaign I'd ever worked on. And it got on the ballot, which was a real struggle to get it on the ballot, with very little funding. And the voters approved it by 67%. But we didn't know that on the day after the election. We knew who the mayor was. We knew who the city council members were. But Congress told the local elections board to not count the votes. And for almost a year, it had to be litigated till finally a high court said, no, count the votes and release the information. And it turns out it passed with overwhelming support. So in 1996, when medical marijuana was approved by the voters in California, just 2 years later, in our own capital, this country, this great country, we approved medical marijuana too. Now, flash forward to this year. A group of us, longtime residents, I've lived there for 20 years, decided to put marijuana legalization on the ballot. Straightforward, home cultivation, no licensing. If you have up to 12 plants in a house, it is completely legal as long as you're an adult. Just like, you know, that's straightforward. We don't even talk about tax and regulate. We're talking about the rights of every American to grow this plant at home. And if you take away that right in any way, shape, or form, you're going to get monopolies. You're going to get corporate price fixing. Okay? You're going to get corrupt government officials trying to take their cut. Okay? We have to enshrine home cultivation. So we're putting it on the ballot. And we don't look, lo and behold, we don't get a lot of national support from groups because they're like, hey, you know, this doesn't really make any money for any big businesses. We're like, yeah, because this is about democracy. So now we've got it on the ballot, and lo and behold, there are congressmen who are saying that they will overturn the vote if it passes again, all these years later. But now we're talking about legalization of medical marijuana. So this story is going to have a different ending. We're not going to have to wait 12 years to finally get a medical marijuana program like we just did in D.C. We're going to get legalization next year in Washington, D.C. Okay, mark my words, folks. Election night this November, you're going to hear that the people of Washington, D.C. have actually counted the votes and overwhelmingly have approved legalization of marijuana for personal use. Isn't that a good thing?
Yeah.
You think it's a good thing? I think it's a good thing. I think it's long overdue. And what's going to happen next? Well, every time, I almost sounded Italian, what's going to happen next? Okay, so after you make a law in D.C., it goes to Congress, actually, for final approval. Remember I told you about how we're not a state? And they got 60 days to stop the law from taking effect, or they could let it take effect, or they can write a new law. And we think they're probably going to end up writing a new law. But that new law, if they say that marijuana is legal in D.C. under these conditions, they can't say it's just for Washington, D.C., but all other 50 states don't get that same law. They can't say that. That's not right. That's not morally right. That's not going to fly politically. If it's going to be legal in the nation's capital to sell marijuana to tourists when they visit, then it ought to be legal in any state where people want to sell marijuana, right? So this is actually really important. And especially because we have about 25 states now that have some kind of marijuana reform law on the books. It's a tipping point. You know, you've got those chips on the scales and you keep adding them until finally it drops. D.C. is the last chip. You just drop that on there and boom. It's all coming down like a house of cards. So this is an exciting time. It feels like we did so much here in Washington State and Colorado. We're about to make legalization a reality in Alaska. Oregon is on deck. You got Florida doing medical marijuana. Wow, it's exciting. It's going to be a big election night. You got Democrats putting marijuana on the ballot in some states just to get turnout up because they think it's going to get the young voters to come out. So I want to show a hands. I'm probably running out of time here. So I want to show a hands. How many people here plan on voting, no matter where you live, in the next election? Come on, show your hands. There's nothing to be ashamed of. I know a lot of people are anti-government, and they really hate the government, and you know, there's good reasons to hate the government. I've been to jail 16 times, actually, okay? And you really want to hate the government after you've been to jail. But you know what? We are the government, okay? Let's just get real for a second. When we check out and we don't participate, we don't vote, okay, that evil government, it exists. But I've seen it turn. I've seen it turn in the belly of the beast in Washington, D.C. We've got every mainstream politician backing up our ballot initiative. They all got our back right now. They know it's popular. They know it's time to change. So I'll leave you with that, and I really appreciate having a chance to speak here. This is an inspirational event for East Coast activists. There's many people from the East Coast.
Oh, I could have smoked that pot.
All right, the factory whistle has sounded. That means it's 420 in America's cannabis capital of Denver, Colorado, and all throughout the Mountain Time Zone, where I was born in beautiful Nampa, Idaho. So my biological clock tells me that it's time for a safety meeting. We'll be back with Michael Kravitz at Seattle Hemp Fest and Veterans for Medical Cannabis Access after this. You can get 420 Radio on the go with the TuneIn Radio app for all mobile platforms. Go to rad-r.us/420TuneIn or just click the TuneIn Radio icon below the live radio feed on 420radio.org. At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio. 420radio.org presents Gordon Green's Music Planet from Barcelona, Spain. Gordon Green has been traveling the world for more than 20 years, discovering and collecting great music along the way. His mix of eclectic sounds from around the globe prove that you don't have to understand the words to enjoy the music. Check out the show every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Pacific Time with replays Wednesday at 5 and 8 Pacific on 420radio.org. Are you a hypocrite? If you live a closeted cannabis lifestyle, you are. Read about seven people living a closeted cannabis lifestyle who are on the verge of coming out in The Hypocrites by Mara K. Eaton. Available at areyouahypocrite.net. You can purchase the book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, also available on iTunes. Check out Mara K. Eaton on Facebook as well. Learn more at areyouahypocrite.net.
Yeah, Doug Fine. An amazing, powerful speaker. However, you know, I'm on the speakers committee and I introduce a lot of speakers. And, you know, some of them I'm like, okay, they came. And some of them I'm really excited about. This year, I think the most exciting speaker I have is the one that I'm about to introduce right now. Right now, we're going to have Michael Kravitz. He is the executive director of Veterans for Medical Cannabis Access. The reason why I'm so excited. It's because he is working to get the Veterans Administration to approve of medical cannabis for PTSD. If he can get that federal administration to approve of cannabis, then that is the linchpin that will make the federal government have to admit that we have to reschedule medical cannabis as a medicine and no longer as a Schedule I drug. Is that exciting or what?
Yeah!
That's the federal level, folks. That's what we've been working for. Let's really hear it from Michael Kravitz.
Thanks, everybody. It's really great to be here. HempFest 2014. Michael Kravitz, Executive Director of Veterans for Medical Cannabis Access. Thank you. As he said, we are trying to get the VA to look into cannabis for post-traumatic stress. I don't think I really need to tell this crowd a heck of a lot about the great value that cannabis has in your life. You know, I think you figured that out. But even so, it's really hard to imagine how important it really can be for the right, you know, the right treatment for the right person. It can make such a dramatic difference. And we're looking at, you know, suicide rates of veterans that are just unacceptable. And, you know, two sides of that. One is we're using drugs that are coming from the VA. You know, they're often veterans will tell me, they sent me home with a big bag of pills. They told me to go home and feel better. And it just doesn't work that way. Some of those drugs in that bag actually can even cause suicide. It's not a good picture. So if we could reduce the amount of those drugs that were taken and at the same time add a treatment that really works, that really helps, that really can give you a benefit, that who knows, maybe that can also lower that suicide rate a little bit. It's not like you know, children with epilepsy where you see the seizure immediately go away. It's a little hard to put your finger on a suicide not happening. But I can assure you it's worth the effort. And I can assure you that people like me and the cohorts, that I've come to call them the kind of cannabis special forces. We're out there working really hard, and we're not going to give up till we get that done.
That's right.
So, thank you. You know, this is Peter McWilliams' stage, and just recently I was looking at some video of Peter McWilliams, and I just want to say a couple of things about that. You know, the guy was such a phenomenal, like, inspiration to so many people. He had so much life in him and just so much joy. And I think, you know, I'm just guessing, but I think that was his thing. I mean, that's what really people bought his books about. There was a best-selling author. And Peter McWilliams, I think, you know, if I could just scratch a little bit into what he would might say on a day like today, enjoy this. Enjoy this. You deserve this. Enjoy this. This is really, really, really cool. And I think that, you know, we deserve this. So enjoy the day, enjoy the herb, enjoy the camaraderie, and don't be afraid to really just show that you're enjoying it. Don't be afraid to have a little joy. I think that's what Peter would send us away with. So I don't know, you know, these guys got a lot going on here. I don't want to take up too much more of your time. I'll be back here again tomorrow talking a little bit more about some of the stuff that's going on and some of the ways that you can help out. One last thing I will say in short, you know, we're talking about post-traumatic stress. It's not allowed under the medical marijuana law in Washington State yet. We need to add post-traumatic stress as a qualifying condition in Washington State. So I implore you guys, anybody that's in a position to talk to anybody that lives here, works here, or is in any position of authority here in Washington State to try to get that done and try to help us do that. As long as it's legal, you can use cannabis for post-traumatic stress, but that doesn't give you any protection from drug testing in the federal program. Only when you're using it legally under doctor's orders do you get that protection. So I'll leave you with that little bit of thought. Help us try to figure this out. How do we get this, you know, in the land of legal cannabis, we ought to be able to figure out how to add another condition. This shouldn't be undoable. So thanks, everybody.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with the Ustream video app for Android and iPhone. Go to rad-r.us/420Ustream or just click the Ustream app icon for Android or iPhone below the live radio feed at 420radio.org.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com and follow Herb Age and Herb.
We'll be live with Leap's Terry Nelson right after these messages.
My name is Tara Selzin, and I've worked in environmental conservation for many years. I'm a big supporter of Measure 91 because our current marijuana laws have failed us. We have the opportunity this fall to vote to support legalizing, taxing, and regulating marijuana in Oregon. There are many obvious reasons for reforming marijuana here in Oregon. There are over 12,000 arrests and citations each year. That's one every 45 minutes. I think those are the wrong priorities for our public safety. And there are also many other unintended consequences that come with the current system. By treating adult marijuana use as a crime, we're forcing those who grow marijuana to exist in the black market. That means they go out into our natural areas, wilderness, and forests to grow marijuana. These illegal marijuana grows pose a serious environmental problem because they don't belong in our forests and natural areas. They remove vegetation, they harm our habitat, and they hurt wildlife. Regulated marijuana would be grown like normal crops, but illegal marijuana growers are tapping into our fragile creeks and streams and actually dry them up. It's not just outdoor marijuana growing that poses a threat to our environment. Illegal indoor growing does as well. Because they can't take advantage of energy conservation programs, indoor growing wastes a tremendous amount of power. There are a lot of reasons to support regulating marijuana with Measure 91. Protecting our environment is one of them.
One of the most disturbing elements of the Prohibition War is how it's made police the enemy of otherwise law-abiding cannabis consumers. Fortunately, one group of police officers knows the futility of Prohibition and reaches out to educate the community and current law enforcement. Today, the Russ Belville Show visits with another speaker from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition with one clear message. Cops say legalize drugs.
Welcome back, everybody. 31 after the hour, and we're joined on the telephone by Terry Nelson, a board member with Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. Terry, how are you today?
I'm well, Russ. How about yourself?
I'm fantastic. Glad to have you here because the headlines that are going on over the past couple of weeks make Leap guests some of my favorite people to have here on the show to give us a little bit of perspective. And that, of course, would be what we've seen going on in Ferguson, Missouri, where there's been finally some awareness of militarized policing. It's something those of us in the drug war have been quite familiar with. And I just wanted to get your take on what's happening in Ferguson and how the war on drugs may or may not have contributed to that.
Well, of course, you're right about the militarization started back in the 1990s. I don't agree with the heavy-handed police tactics that are being used there. There's much better ways. And I say this, I was trained in riot control and served on some teams, and we certainly didn't do business that way. You know, we didn't use the heavy hand of the police. We went out amongst the people and tried to keep them calm and calm them down instead of lining up with clubs. Now, there were times when you had to do that, but it had to get really violent before we do that. I'm completely against it, and like I said, I was on a team early in the 90s when they started issuing us all this equipment, and we would take everything they would give us and then run around acting like little soldiers. And as I recall back, that's when we quit knocking on the door to start knocking them down first. Because up to then, we just knocked on the door to serve warrants. It seemed to work pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, how did you ever manage to serve any warrants to anybody without breaking their doors down? It's amazing. Terry, we just found this amazing piece written on Substance.com from one of your board members, Diane Goldstein. Take it from a cop, the drug war poisons community policing. And I'm wondering if you'd give us some perspective on that idea of how the trust has been eroded between especially communities of color and police due to the drug war.
Well, and when most crimes are committed, of course, I agree with Diana 100% on that article. When most crimes are committed, it's crimes against other people, like murder. You don't kill people you don't know, generally speaking, unless it's a contract killing, of course. So people are usually willing to help you solve the crime when it's a crime against another person, place, or thing. And to quote President Reagan, he once said that government exists to protect us from each other. It fails when it tries to protect us from ourselves. And that's what the drug law does. It tries to tell us what we can do to ourselves. And then the police can't get any help because no one really cares what you're doing to yourself except the police. So they have to then use informants, and they have to arrest somebody and then hold something over that guy's head to make him inform on his friends to keep him having to go into jail or prison. And it just tears up the structure of our society because it erodes the trust among friendship groups and stuff. And it's just, I can't find anything good about the drug war. Nothing about it has ever worked, you know, to my knowledge. And I've been involved in it, well, was involved in it for 32 years.
You know, in reading this article, I got to learn a little bit about Sir Robert Peel, who I'd never heard of before, but apparently he was the father of policing from all the way back in the 19th century and had these principles that he set out, 9 principles of policing. And here's one of them, quote, "The power of the police to fulfill their functions and duties is dependent on public approval of their existence, actions, and behavior, and on their ability to secure and maintain public respect," end quote. So with public support of the drug war hovering in the single digits, like 7% last time I looked, how is it that police are able to maintain this overwhelming support on their side for the drug war?
they make a lot of money out of it. I mean, that's in a nutshell, it's a money-making machine. You know, you arrest somebody at 3 o'clock this afternoon, or well, let's make it a little later because you work at evening shift at 10 o'clock at night. The next day, you go in to court and you testify. You know about the preliminary hearing about this guy, and you get 3 hours of overtime. So it's a money-making machine for the cops. And of course, what they can steal from either theft by badge, taking your property and stuff without benefit of your day in court. It's all a money-making machine. There are some police agencies making, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars a year off of seizing people's property, or basically stealing it from them, and it's wrong. So Sir Robert Peel had it right, because the ability of the police to perform their duties depends entirely upon the public approval of the police actions, and that's true. And I think that our police nowadays have forgotten who they're supposed to work for. I think they believe they work for their sergeant or their captain instead of the people that they're policing, because they police us with our consent. We can change that through law, of course. I'm not talking civil disobedience, through the law, to make them become what they're supposed to be again. Work on the city council, work on the county commissioners that allow this stuff to happen, that hire these police chiefs that permit their officers to police in this manner. And we can fix it. It's not that big a fix if we just, you know, settle down and do it.
Yeah, we would love to see that happen. We're speaking with Terry Nelson from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, and he's one of many speakers that are working with law enforcement prohibition. Law enforcement professionals, cops, prison guards, prosecuting attorneys, and many others who will speak. They'll come to your local area, and they will speak to your club or organization and give you their perspective from the front lines on the drug war. Check out leap.cc to learn more about that. Now, Terry, with respect to this this law enforcement trust, there's another shooting that went down in St. Louis, and this time we were told that police had to gun him down because he was crazed and holding a knife over his head and was 3 to 4 feet away from the cops. I just saw the cell phone video that was released that showed this guy had his arms down and was 15 feet away. How hard is it going to be to get the police trust on reforming the drug war when we can't even get them to accurately portray what's going on in officer-involved shootings? And would you recommend maybe the use of body cameras or something to help document this stuff?
Well, I think that's probably what we're going to have to end up doing, because there's just way too much of this anymore. I was talking to a friend yesterday about it, and I had, in the course of my career, probably 15, 20 times that I could have shot someone that I didn't. I mean, coming at me with a knife or a 2x4 or a big tree branch, you know, any of these things. And I didn't do it because I didn't have to. You know, I used officer presence, and I stayed away from the guy long enough where I could talk him down, or, you know, get a chance to put in a quick punch and take him down and then jump on him and you know, cuff him up. But I only had to shoot one person in my career, and that guy was shooting at me first. So you can do it, but shoot someone like, if the videotape, and I'm very reluctant to jump in on these videotapes because you really can't see enough, but the guy was quite a ways from him when they shot him, and it wasn't necessary. There's two of them, one of him. There was absolutely no reason to shoot this person in my book. If I can't take a knife away from a guy like that, with a partner working with me, then I don't deserve to carry that badge, I don't believe.
Wow. I love hearing that from you, Terry. Thank you so much for that. And, you know, it's something that is shocking. We see statistics come across in these Facebook memes, for example, that the police in Germany, the entire country of Germany, shot 83 bullets and shot 3 people total, like an entire year, while we have, you know, hundreds of these shootings that go on in America. What are we going to have to do to change that?
Well, we're doing one of the things that has to be done now is we're shining the light on it. I heard some politicians, two senators specifically, speak about the militarization of our police. We just have to change that mindset. And it's going to start with hiring the police chiefs, electing the sheriffs, and replacing the current training officers in these academies, because they're training people the wrong way. We spent too many years in self-defense classes learning how to disarm people and shoot with the last resort. And in my training academies, if you shot when you weren't supposed to, if your life wasn't threatened in a no-shoot environment, you didn't get hired. That was the last test you took. And if you failed it, you went home, because we just didn't allow it. You can't do that to people, especially sick people. I was just reading earlier, some kid with a colostomy bag, some police beat him up because he had a bulge in his pants, and he wouldn't tell him what it was. He was a boy that had some mental issues. But, you know, that's just, you hear these stories, and I'm sure it's, I hope that it's rare events, but just through social media we're seeing so much more of it. But any of it's too much in my book. I believe in policing with the people, not against them.
All right. And shifting gears a little bit to changing the atmosphere in which police have to work. Here in Oregon, as well as in Alaska and Washington, D.C., there are initiatives to legalize marijuana. We saw the violent crime stats go down in Colorado following their legalization. And yet, we've got the Oregon Sheriff's Association, the prosecuting attorneys, and it looks as though they're going to be spending some federal taxpayer money basically campaigning against the legalization measure. Now, we've mentioned it's a money-making tool for them, but legally speaking, is what they're doing something they can do? Can cops campaign against initiative measures?
Well, I don't know. I don't think they should be able to, but as far as the drugs are and the federal money, that's the law. The law says you have to do it. And I can, it's House Bill 11-225, and I believe you've seen it before. It calls for the take such action as necessary to oppose any attempt to legalize the use of this substance in any form. So the law on the book says that the drug czar has to oppose it, and he has to expend funds to oppose it. So what they're doing on that side is legal and by the law. How aggressive they are with it is yet to be seen. But as far as the local police, I don't think they're supposed to be involved in politics at all. I think they can go in and give testimony to the city council, you know, about this that they ask them, but to be on the streets in uniform, you know, I shouldn't be doing it. Now, if you're out of uniform and you want to go out, you have just as much rights as anybody else then. But I don't see how it's helping us. And point into Colorado, that actually the high school student use went down 2%. Now, that's not a trend yet. It's only 7-8 months. But everything they've told us is not happening. So how can you still support it? That's unless it, you're just making so much money off of it, and the pharmaceutical companies are just can't stand the thought that they might not be able to sell as much OxyContin next year because people might self-medicate or use cannabis as a sleep aid.
Good points. Terry Nelson from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. The website is leap.cc. You can follow him on Twitter at Cops Say Legalize, and it's a great organization. I encourage everyone to support him. Terry, thanks for joining us again. Can't wait to see you next time.
Thank you, Russ. Have a good one.
All right, you too. When we come back, we've got the anti-drug PSA of the day, followed by a radical rant. The Joker is on his way to Gotham, and Batman stands at the ready. Kevin Sabet coming to Oregon. That's the radical rant right after this.
The voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio is 24-hour marijuana legalization radio. At Royal Queen Seeds, we've got premium feminized cannabis seeds, including auto-flowering varieties for the medical cannabis user. We've got bulk shipments available and new CBD oil. Plus, we accept payment in Visa, MasterCard, and Bitcoin, as well as other methods. Check out our website at royalqueenseeds.com for more information. We are located in the Netherlands, and we have online grow experts ready to help you now at royalqueenseeds.com. In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
I stole from my little sister.
I got straight D's.
I left my ex-girlfriend 27 messages last night.
I made my mother cry.
I let people draw on me.
I ditched my friends and let them find their own way home.
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org. I'm Radical Russ Belville, and I want to thank you for listening to 420 Radio. We couldn't survive without you and our sponsors, and I'd like you to check out one of our prime sponsors, the National Cannabis Coalition. I've been working with NCC since June of 2012, and I'm proud to be part of the team they have assembled. National Cannabis Coalition is building the partnerships with reformers, lawmakers, and industry we need to be successful. Visit the National Cannabis Coalition website at nationalcannabiscoalition.com or the easier-to-remember ncc420.com. That's where you'll get the exclusive first look at my radical rants, as well as informative articles from the nation's top cannabis pundits. Visit ncc420.com today, and if you have your phone handy, text Russ to 420-420 to support NCC and 420 Radio. It's a free text message that helps us help you end adult marijuana prohibition. Learn more at ncc420.com, and thanks for supporting independent marijuana legalization public radio.
Handle the truth.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
You have offended my family.
Hey, this is great, man.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
I know nothing.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
We don't need no stinking budget.
Homosexuality.
Down the centuries, you have slurred the meaning of the words "we, the people."
Be warned, this is not your mother's marijuana.
You could ask yourself a question: do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. I want to have them answered immediately.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Welcome back, everybody. 47 after the hour, and the big news today here in Portland, Oregon, was this announcement that I got through Willamette Week yesterday, one of our weekly papers, and also was covered in the Oregonian today, and that is that the quarterback of the anti-legalization movement, as Rolling Stone calls him, Kevin Sabet, is bringing his roadshow to Oregon. And it's on the taxpayer's dime, folks, using taxpayer money, federal tax money, to campaign against Measure 91, our initiative to legalize marijuana. Oh, did I say campaign against it? No. Heavens to Murgatroyd. No. These are educational events, not political events, end quote, says Kevin Sabet. They just happen to be timed the week prior to Oregon's ballot mail-out. Now, if you don't know about Oregon electoral politics, Oregon is a vote-by-mail state. It's all vote-by-mail. We don't have polling places. You get your ballot in the mail, and most people open it up and fill it out right then, and then mail it back in. Okay? So, having these political events all across the state the week before the ballots are mailed out is kind of similar to standing out front of the polls on election day. Kinda. This, by the way, is all illegal. You cannot use federal tax dollars to campaign against state ballot initiatives. But golly gee, it just never occurred, quote, never occurred to Rick Treleaven, who is the organizer of the $15,000 two-day event in Madras, and half of that's being paid for by federal anti-drug tax dollars, so $7,500. It just never occurred to Rick that it would be considered somehow political to bring in anti-marijuana crusaders to tour the state. Also, by the way, that tour, half paid for by federal anti-drug tax dollars. Never occurred to him that anyone would think it's political to bring in Kevin Sabet a week before Oregonians start to vote on marijuana legalization. Why? It's just a coincidence. Just a coincidence. Just happened to come in a week before we get our ballots for marijuana legalization. The Oregonian also spoke with Tigard's Connie Raymakers. Connie is a local anti-drug crusader in Tigard. Tigard is a suburb of Portland, Oregon. And Connie says that the event fits in well with our mission. That's a quote. The event fits in well with our mission. And what is Connie's mission? Well, it's to prevent drug and alcohol use among the youth. To prevent drug and alcohol use among the youth. So, since meth scares the hell out of every Oregon parent, in that two-day conference, they're going to spend 80 minutes on it. Yep, 80 minutes. Hour and 20 minutes on meth in a two-day conference. And, you know, heroin and prescription drugs like OxyContin and Vicodin, we got a serious problem with that out here in Oregon. And I know other states have this as well. I mean, it's killing kids. So they're going to spend an hour and a half on that in the two-day conference. Hour and a half on Oxy, Vicodin, heroin, prescription drugs, all that. Hour and a half. Oh, and let's not forget alcohol. Remember, Connie's raison d'etre is that they must prevent drug and alcohol use among the youth. It's a reason for being. Got to prevent alcohol use among the youth. And drunk driving and binge drinking take the lives of Oregon teens every year. Therefore, they're going to spend 2 hours on the subject of alcohol in the two-day $15,000 event, half paid for by federal tax dollars. But marijuana, the killer of zero Oregon teens, will be covered for 8 hours, one day, one full day of the two-day seminar in Madras, plus 2 hours in Bend, 2 hours in Salem, 2 hours in Tigard, 2 hours in Corvallis, 2 hours in Eugene, 2 hours in Roseburg, 2 hours in Grants Pass, 2 hours in Ontario, 2 hours in LeGrand, 2 hours in Hood River, and 2 hours in Astoria, and an hour and a half in Clackamas. That's 10 minutes short of 5 hours on drugs and alcohol in one city versus 31 and a half hours on marijuana in 13 cities, but Connie, the tigered anti-drug lady, says, quote, "We aren't there to sway voters," end quote. Now, Rick, the organizer out there in Madras, explains that marijuana is just, quote, "the hot topic of the moment," end quote, because of the legalization debate and the increasing availability of the drug through the medical marijuana program. That the legalization debate happens to include a statewide vote on the subject. Well, that's just serendipitous. That just quinky dink. There's nothing political about this at all. Marijuana is just a hot topic. And we want to make sure that we inform people about marijuana, this hot topic that people are talking about legalizing. But don't take that to mean that we're campaigning against legalization. You're free to vote any way you want to. If you want to vote to legalize the deadly dangerous drug that's six times more addictive than the 70s and leads one out of six kids and all the bullshit they'll tell you, why, you go right ahead. Well, I'll tell you what, we Oregonians are not going to sit back and allow federally funded interference in Oregon state marijuana legalization initiative. That's why I am proud to announce the 420 Radio Kevin Sibet Oregon Marijuana Education Tour that in no way should be construed as using federal taxpayer money to campaign against state ballot measure 91 to legalize marijuana. And that's going to run from October 1st through October 7th. The schedule can be found at my short link, and I'll put this in the chat room right now, rad-r.us/sabetor, all in lowercase letters. rad-r.us/sabetor. You can get the entire schedule October 1st through October 7th. And we are looking for volunteers to help us out as well, because Kevin Sibet knows me. I kicked his ass in a debate a couple of years ago at the Baker Institute. Still the number one video at the Baker Institute, by the way. And so he knows me. There's no way he's going to let me get a question in at any public event concerning marijuana. So we need volunteers. We need people he doesn't know. The Russ Belville Show will be in every city at every event that they are going to run all across this great state of Oregon. And we will be there doing live streaming. And Gothic Prophet in the chat room says it's a rather ungainly name. Really? You don't like the name The 420 Radio Kevin Sabet Oregon Marijuana Education Tour that in no way should be construed as using federal taxpayer money to campaign against state ballot measure 91 to legalize marijuana. Really? That's too long? We'll work on it. But anyway, we will be there for every event. And now he's doing like three different events per day. This is the first through the seventh, but he's taking the Saturday and Sunday off. So in it'll be in Madras, October 1st and 2nd. That's a Wednesday and Thursday. That's Central Oregon. The first day, he'll do the 8 to 5 marijuana thing. Also on Wednesday, that night in Bend, they'll be doing a thing. On Thursday, he takes the roadshow to Salem, Clackamas, and Tigard, morning, afternoon, and evening. We will stream live from each one. Friday, four events. Corvallis at 8 in the morning, Eugene at noon, Roseburg at 4, and Grants Pass at 7:30. We will be at all four of those. On Monday, October 6th, Ontario, La Grande, and Hood River. We will be at all three of those. And on Tuesday, they complete the little road show in Astoria, Oregon, actually up at Camp Riley in Warrenton, Oregon. We will be there as well. Maybe I can get Cannabis Carrie to join me for that one. But we will be there for all of those, and we need your support to make this as impactful as possible. Please, if you can, and you've been waiting to become a VIP member of 420 Radio, this would be the time to do it. We're going to need lots of gas money and some food on the road. So please sign up at 420radio.org/VIP for as little as $4.20 a month, automatically deducted via PayPal. You can help support our mission to expose the growing truth about cannabis and to call these people into account, these Kevin Sabets, these anti-drug, anti-marijuana people. We will hold them to account, but we need your help to do so. Become a VIP, and if you don't want to do a monthly donation, we'll take a one-time donation as well. Same website, 420radio.org/VIP. You can make a one-time donation via PayPal. Also, thanks to our listeners at 420 Radio and one very, very special donor, we will have a pro Measure 91 ballot statement submitted to the Oregon Secretary of State this week. And your voice will be heard by all the Oregon voters who get that mailed to them with their ballot. So we will have the pro argument coming up. Big thanks to our listeners for supporting that. And again, thanks always to our listeners for supporting 420radio.org and the Russ Belville Show. It's just going to get bigger and better, folks. And Kevin Sabet, if you're out there listening, I'm on your tail, pal. I'm always over your shoulder. Wherever the Joker goes, the Batman will be there. I will be sure to counter every bit of obfuscation, half-truth, distortion, and lies that you try to foist upon my fellow Oregonians. You are not going to mess this up. We are going to stand up to you. We're going to show everyone the moral entrepreneur that you really are. You shill for big rehab. You shill for big pharma. You shill for big prisons. We know who pulls your strings, and nobody believes that you're a volunteer anymore, Kevin. We know that you're using volunteer much like Bill Clinton used the word is. It depends on how you define it. And you're not fooling anyone, Kevin. We're going to be there every event. My people are going to be in the audience with hand-prepared questions by me, fresh every day, new questions at every event, questions that will force people to question exactly who the hell you are and why the hell they should be listening to you. Questions like, why should we be afraid of big tobacco when teen smoking has dropped to its lowest levels ever, despite the fact that it is available for 18-year-olds? How did that happen? And why would legalizing for 21-year-olds turn out any differently? We'll have all sorts of questions like that ready for you. We're going to plant you all throughout the audience. Kevin Sabet's going to get laughed out of this state. It's all the time we got for hour one, but stay tuned for hour two. We'll show you what big marijuana is. You know Kevin Sabet's fear of big marijuana? We got some big marijuana people coming up in the next hour, Kevin. Check them out. They're really, really scary people. Oh, the fear. For everyone here at 420radio.org, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.